two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on the program. Scott, happy, what is this, Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday, yeah. Taco Tuesday. And I just got an email reminder from the Detroit Lions. I get those from time to time.
What did they say to you?
They just remind me that the Detroit Lions are still in business.
Oh.
But totally in business. And the premiere of Hard Knocks is tonight. So we might get to listen to Jamal Williams
cry, laugh.
And this music.
They've disavowed themselves from this fight song, though, right? Yeah, for sure. They're
no, they have not disavowed themselves. This is the fight song for the Detroit.
So they have this Pavarotti come out and go, Detroit.
This song brings goosebumps to my arms.
It does to me, too.
It actually motivates me. It wants me to get out there on the field and march on down that field and score a touchdown in the Lions' victory.
It fires me up in a different way. I get goosebumps for the wrong reasons. You know, like when...
make you have to go to the bathroom?
It just makes me... It's like when a ghost passed through you, and you're like, oh, I felt something scary.
Right. Holy Spirit, activate.
We've got so many things to jump into today. We're going to meet some new friends.
I guess you guys
are going to meet some new friends. We've got a new title sponsor to the program. We're excited about it, and we're just pumped to really roll this stuff out and get these guys on board and get you guys on board with them, and so... it's a really, really fun time for Unrivaled as we get going here. But we got to jump into the show portion of the show, right? The actual show portion of the show?
Show portion of the portion
right,
of
so
the show.
So let's get into the program here. Let's talk a little bit of Utah football and jump in right here with The Cut.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of The Cut. How's Utah going to handle being the favorite in the Pac-12? I think we've all...
They're going to kick the trash out of everybody. That's what they're going to do.
Look how excited you are.
Are you kidding me?
I love it.
Cannot wait.
I think that a couple years ago when they were favorites in the North, we did not talk like that. Right?
No.
It was a very different vibe. It's like they've evolved into a spot now where Kyle Whittingham was reluctant to get first place votes at one point. Then when they became the South favorites in the Pac-12 a couple of years ago, like I said, now they don't do North and South, obviously. It's whoever has the best record, which is a really fun thing. I mean, you could legitimately have a Pac-12 championship that this year features a rematch of Utah and USC. A rematch of Utah and Oregon, right? playing each other in the regular season and then going again and playing.
More than likely the three best teams in the conference. No
Amazing.
Question.
Yeah. And so, and even if it is UCLA, you're still going to be playing, or Oregon State, or, you know, maybe a dark horse in that sense. Utah will have played them in the regular season. The teams that they're not playing are not ones that are on.
Or Oregon State's not a dark horse.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, like, they're a dark beaver. They're not a dark horse. They're the beavers. Yeah, it's a dark beaver.
So whatever animals associated.
Much more feared than a dark horse.
Jeremy's the dump button. We're past it now, right? We already missed it. <He's kidding. laughs> Doofus. Oh my gosh. Either way, what I'm saying is the teams they're not playing this year in the Pac-12. Who are they not playing? Washington.
Washington.
The year, of course, that they're not good. Like, Washington. The last couple years they haven't been
good. And Cal.
Don't need Cal, right? But there, the possibility of them actually facing off against somebody in the likelihood is if they make the Pac-12 championship game this year like they did last year, they will be playing a team that they had already faced this year, and you're going to get a rematch. Let me tell you who loves rematches: television. And there's going to be a lot of talk about TV today because there's a lot of TV deals being made, and there's a lot of stuff going up and down that are still part of, you know, how this thing's going to shake out from a TV revenue standpoint. The Pac-12 has got its eyes firmly planted on this thing, with the Big Ten backing out of all of their ESPN or not coming to a deal with ESPN. That opens the door for the Pac-12 to be a little bit more valuable. It's a good news deal for them. All that stuff is out the window because Utah now is in a spot football-wise that they have never been in, even last year.
Actually, I here's where I think it's different. I really do. I think this is a year, the coaches poll came out, Utah's 8 in the coaches poll, and I think people up on the hill, I think the University of Utah people think that they're underrated. I think they, meaning the University of Utah and their faithful, feel like, I don't want to say a slight, but they're like, okay.
Really? It's their first time ever being a single digit voting.
I'm just telling you. I think the whole thing of that mental barrier that you put on yourself, and the mental barrier is, can we ever win the Pac-12 championship? Like, they'd been in it. It was the third year that Utah had been in the Pac-12 championship, and they could not find a way to break through that. And I think they finally just, because it wasn't just showing up and barely eking out a win. Wasn't Oregon handing them the game? They dominated that football game. They were the better football team. And it really is one of those things where I really believe that the Utah faithful have grown up. And so I think the expectation, can't wait to have our conversations every week with Devin Kaufusi.
Right.
But I really believe that the folks inside the program believe they're a legitimate candidate to go to the college football playoffs. I don't think this is like some scary dream or, you know, if all these things work together. I literally believe that they believe they're that good.
Well, let's go to Utah wideout Devon Vele, a guy who everybody is kind of looking at this year to be a big playmaker for that wideout group. As Kyle Whittingham has said, we want to be a big play type team now. Here's Devon Vele from fall camp, the latest from up on the hill. This is him talking about being back on offense, getting that group back together again.
It's looking good. We're looking smooth. One thing that's different about this season, you know, we already have the pieces that we've had in the offense from last season. So it's just building on the little things that we've seen from last season and just building upon that. We understand the playbook. We have the same offensive coordinator, same quarterback. You know, everything's the same. So now we're just fine-tuning the little things and making sure we're building.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is, I mean, what's interesting is that Andy Ludwig is being asked to develop this big play situation even more than he probably has ever in his career. Is that something that he's capable of, knowing that Andy Ludwig has kind of a certain style of maybe slowing things down a little bit? They have a premier back. Are they going to be able to open it up, though, for real, Scott? Like the style of not slinging it as much as when you were throwing it up at Utah, but can you develop that? Can you get into that? That's something that A-Rod's done down at BYU, certainly.
And what Andy Ludwig does, which I really like, is he caters the offense. He tailors it to the people he has. He knows that Devon Vailey's a big-time receiver. And there's a chemistry, certainly, between Cam Rising and Devon Vailey. So he's really good. He, meaning Andy Ludwig, is really good at finding what the strengths of these players are and then making sure that the offense is tailored to what they do. And quite frankly, Cam Rising now is a guy that can do anything. Like, he's not limited in what he can do. He can throw the ball outside, down the field, to wide receivers. You know, he's capable of sitting in the pocket and actually reading a defense. And so they'll figure out, Andy Ludwig will figure out what they need to do and the guys they need to get the ball in their hands. But as Devon said, look, a year ago, he was just trying to figure out who we were.
Right.
Like, Cam Rising wasn't even our starting quarterback at the beginning of last season. And to go into the season, because they're going to need that going to Florida at the first game of the year, going into the season and knowing that is massive. I mean, it's the same thing at BYU. I mean, having the depth and experience, man, it just puts you light years ahead of everyone else.
Well, and we, I think we talked about that last week at when we were watching camp. And Jaren Hall's throwing the football to these guys, and the wide receiver group there is deep. Same thing for Cam Rising. There's no question who the starting quarterback is. And when they come in, they go, well, yeah. So then they throw a kajillion balls to each other all summer long in these player-run practices or however they're able to, you know, whatever the how much they can actually work out together. It's not a question. You know, it's not a – before it was, well, I don't know if Zach Wilson's going to be throwing to me or if I want Jaren Hall thrown to me, or, you know, you kind of have these wide receivers picking, you know, and choosing with these guys or whoever's going to go out and throw with them. And there's no question. So Devon Vailey talked exactly about that relationship now that he's got with Cam Rising. Last year, it was taking a bunch of reps with Charlie Brewer. Can you believe that's where we were a year ago now?
Right. And
all of us going, Charlie Brewer's looking real. Oh, gosh, he looks so good. And then we go into camp, and you're like, yeah, he still looks great. And then you don't have that same advantage of being able to have that. But here's what he said about his relationship with Cam Rising now.
It helped us understand like our strengths and our weaknesses, and also being vocal with each other, because we always talk to each other after practice when we did make a mistake in practice. I mean, we always will make mistakes, but we always make sure we talk to each other, understand like what was the thought process going on, why he had to throw it earlier, why I did that release, and understanding that will help us come game time, that we could just be on the same page. We don't even have to talk about it. We just look at each other. We know what we got to do.
When was the last quarter, time there was
quarterbacks? And receivers are best friends, right? And quarterbacks, quite frankly, are human too, okay? And they know, and wide receivers aren't dumb, right? They're not, right, Ben? Wide receivers are smart guys, because they know I got to talk to my quarterback. I got to get in his ear, whether it's a subtle thing, because you're a quarterback and you're out there and you got people running all over, and you go, yeah, what did Devon say to me? And you go, oh, yeah, I got to find him. And there's... They're and I'm somewhat joking, but not, because when you have to make those decisions, you have to, as a quarterback, and it's like a split decision, you got to know and believe and trust in the guy that is running the route, that he's going to be in the right spot, understanding body language and how he comes out of breaks and the subtle little things that go into, you know, that good execution between a quarterback and a wide receiver, that does take a lot of communication, a lot of time. But what's really nice about Utah this year is having a wide receiver, being able to get down the field and stretch the field is huge, because there's so much else in this Utah offense with the tight ends and with the running game. And you stretch the field throwing the football, it really, really opens everything else up even more than it could be.
The Andy Ludwig, was it 2.0? Is it 3.0? What do we call this? I mean, it was like, how many times did he come back? Just once, right? It was like he was gone, yeah, Vanderbilt came back, right?
Yeah, and he went to Bonneville High School originally in Ogden. So I don't know what that counts for.
He actually went with
one of my really good friends. Who goes, he goes, Andy Ludwig? Like,
he's the guy now?
It's like,
but you know how it is with coaches. That's the way it ends up. There's always like, that guy's a coach?
Yeah, so if you count high school, I'd say it's 3.0.
Okay, so Andy Ludwig's version of – it's interesting because if you're going to stay shut down – and we had this discussion pre-show about Nick Saban about this this turning point in his career when they lost to Auburn and they couldn't get to that third national championship in a row. And he's in tears in the locker room, you know, a feeling nobody's ever had where they go, oh, I didn't win my third national championship in a row. But, you know, his whole thing was we had to change our entire offense because everybody in the country was going to. Nick Saban, 2013. They said, this is Gus Malzahn's offense at Auburn. And what they saw against Oklahoma that same year in the Sugar Bowl, where they got their butts handed to them, Nick Saban said, well, it's not a rebuilding year like last year, but it is trying to figure some things out. When you have 45 points hung on you in a Sugar Bowl by a spread offense, things had to change. Andy Ludwig is not going – I mean, you're not going to go full spread offense with this Utah team. But what are the changes that you've seen over these years where you go, okay, that's the thing that now Andy Ludwig is kind of allowing himself to do that maybe he didn't before?
Well, I don't – again, it's not necessarily a philosophy as much as it is players. And there's a uniqueness with Utah in that the tight ends are versatile. They're not just big, lunky, blocking tight ends. They're guys that can stretch the field. They can block. They can spread out defenses, create – a lot of mismatches. And the other thing Utah has, they've got great running backs as far as running the football, but they're also good out of the backfield catching passes. And then with the evolution, because Utah, quite frankly, really hasn't had a really, really good wide receiver. Britton Covey, I wouldn't say, was like this outside, down-the-field type of wide receiver. He's more of a possession, kind of a slot receiver. And I don't think Utah used him to the best of his ability there, but to have a guy that you can legitimately go down the field with, it just creates a difficult challenge for a defense to defend. And that's Utah has so many weapons, and they have a quarterback who is a weapon in and of himself, but he has the ability to get the ball to all these players, and he was so good at that a year ago, Cam Rising. And so you just spread the ball around, spread people out, create these mismatches. You're going to be very prolific offensively and very hard to stop.
Do you remember? I'm trying to remember because Devon Bailey, they're just going, this is the guy, right? I mean, Solomon Enos is still on this.
I still like Solomon Enos, too.
He's
good. He's not like chump change.
No, no, no.
He's a really good player.
But I think that, I mean, the way Kyle Whittingham's talking about it and the way that even Devon Bailey talked about it, he knows that he's kind of. The top wide receiver.
If I was a wide receiver like 3 years ago, I'd never go to the University of Utah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it like when was the last time you go, hey, this premier wideout, right, up at the University of Utah, and this guy's huge body, massive athleticism. I mean, he's 6'5", 210 or whatever it is. I mean, just a massive dude to go up and grab that ball. And when was the last time we were like, this is the guy? We're always going.
There wasn't a time
cobbled
when
together.
They just haven't had a guy at Utah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a massive advantage to be able to say if you're Andy Ludwig, if you're Kyle Whittingham, you go just throw the ball to this guy. We have him.
So Kyle Whittingham's philosophy has been very conservative, run first, and maybe play action. So you're a wide receiver. You may be late into the second quarter of a game before you ever see your first pass. And all I know is spring football, the very first play of spring football was a pass from Cam Rising to Devon Bailey. And I think it's a real emphasis. I think Utah, one, has the athletes at wide receiver, but also has the willingness. And I think Coach Whittingham, I don't know what happened. He got hit in the head. He softened up. COVID, something happened to him.
No, he grew that manly hair that he's got going on right now. It's pretty sweet.
It's wavy and whatever it is, but – it gave them – he's just kind of opened it up a little bit. But he also has a quarterback. I mean, I'm telling you, Cam Rising is as good as there is in the country, and he can get the ball anywhere he needs to get it. And I don't know that Utah's had that either, to have a quarterback and a wide receiver. And I think it's more. I mean, there's more wide receivers at Utah that are good. Money Parks is good. Solomon Enos. Jalen Dixon is another speedster. So not alone there, but – It's kind of a change in philosophy, and Utah won by its offense a year ago, which never has happened with Kyle Whittingham.
You've been screaming it from the mountaintops as a quarterback.
I have. from day one.
Let's get the offense going. Don't do this. Look, you got to have
a
good defense.
You can't play scared,
fine.
And you can't play not to, you know, don't screw up the game. I mean, how can you just can't do that?
Think about how wild it is, too, that A-Rod was up there and it just didn't work out, right?
Yeah, but it didn't work out because Kyle said, don't throw the football. That's why it didn't work out.
But, he probably had amazing ideas. He's just like, I got all these ideas.
He literally walked to the sideline and put A-Rod's arm behind his back and says, you have one arm behind your back. You cannot do all of this. A-Rod's a smart – look, I spent a lot of time with him, and he knows football, and he's a smart guy, and I guarantee you he had the shackles put on him with Kyle Whittingham.
You know
for
what
whatever reason. Maybe he was young and inexperienced, and Kyle has a philosophy.
But you know when he took off too? I know he was the co-offensive coordinator when Jeff Grimes was in that last year with BYU.
Right.
But we all knew who was calling a lot of those plays.
Well, Jeff Grimes didn't know the passing game.
Give me the flea flicker.
Like, he was a great run coach.
Right.
The fly sweep. He was great. He was the master at the fly sweep.
Is there like, such a thing?
Yes, there is. Like, there's certain plays that coaches just coach well.
That's on the resume? Coach is like, because he had that deep voice. He goes to Baylor and he goes, I don't know if you've seen my fly sweep. I don't know if you've seen what I've done with the fly sweep. We've innovated. He's like, yeah, right.
they did a good job with it.
We're going to take an early break here. When we come back, we're super excited. Newest partnership here on Unrivaled is in the studio. You heard Scott mention Ben. Ben Cahoon, former wideout for BYU and legendary Canadian Football League wideout, is in studio as one of our newest partners. He and Casey Child, also a member of the Crimson Club Hall of Fame. Also, I mean, look, we got a couple of them in the room now.
Well, Casey and I actually have something in common. You may not know this. You probably do. I'm sure you don't.
Should we roll it out?
We actually, no.
Oh, I thought it was like right a two. Okay, let's see.
No, this is really simple.
No,
I played baseball at Utah as well.
Oh, see? You didn't know this.
Lonnie Keeter. A brief moment.
It was a brief
way
moment.
Back in the day.
We're gonna chat with we're gonna chat
very
with Ben
moment.
And we're gonna chat with Casey and we're gonna introduce to you our newest partnership with G2G. We'll talk about it next. We'll come back. More to go. Unrivaled right here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.